ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
येषु यज्ञेषु तपःसु चैव दानेषु यत्पुण्यपदं प्रदिष्टम् सत्येति तत्सर्वमिदं विदित्वा योगी परं स्थानमुपैति साध्यम्।
The person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing austere sacrifices, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and spiritual activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these, and at the end, he reaches the supreme eternal abode. So this is a concluding verse, a very meaningful verse also. A similar verse we had in the 6th chapter, last verse.
Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shaddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo matah.
In that verse, Krishna spoke about a yogi who is the topmost yogi. One who is constantly meditating upon Krishna. Yoginam api sarvesham, amongst all types of yogis, madgate nantaratmana, in the core of his heart, one who is always remembering me, shraddhavan, with great transcendental faith, bhajate yoma, one who does my bhajan, same yukta tamo matah, such a yogi is the topmost yogi, he says. So there only Krishna said about a yogi, what are his activities, the topmost yogi. Whereas here he is talking about the fruits that yogi achieves in his life. What is the fruit achieved by such a yogi who is always thinking of Krishna? So here he is saying, Vedeshu, Yajneshu, Tapasu, Chaiva Daneshu, that Punyasalam. The Punyasal achieved by Veda, Veda Patan, Yajna, Dana, Tapa, all these things, that is very easily achieved by a devotee. And even devotee achieves something beyond this. So that is the meaning of this verse. So generally, why do people perform Vedic sacrifices? Like people, not only Vedic sacrifices, this yajna, dana, tapa, all these things. We elaborately discussed in one of the classes before, that people perform these things at the preliminary stage of coming to religion. They are called as karmakandis. They do yajna, dana, tapa. Yajna means sacrifice for some demigods, devatas. And dana is doing charity. And tapa is performing some upavas, some austerity. I told many examples for this. When you go to a holy place, isn't it? You shave your head, you take bath, and you fast that day. You give in charity to friendly people that. So, these activities are all performed for thousands of lifetimes. After which a person gradually becomes little by little by little by little purified. And by the habit of giving away to other people, gradually one learns detachment by giving to others. Generally we have the habit of always taking from others as many things as possible. See, this is one very essential difference between Vedic life and modern life. Modern life people are very cringy in giving to others. Vedic life means always there should be some excuse to keep on giving something. Like Krishna Balaram's birthday. Like yesterday was Balaram's birthday. So Balaram was giving charity of cows and calves to so many people. Mother Rohini made him give off his charity. So in Vedic life, they always keep giving to others, by which gradually one learns detachment. One is not attached. In fact, they give away things which they are very attached to, so that they can become detached. So, by such detachment which comes after many, many lifetimes, then such a karmakandi person may become a jnani. Then he performs, as it is given here, the path of speculation, mental speculation, and may begin to understand that I am not this body, I am Atma, Aham Brahmasmi. And then another 1,000 lifetimes or million lifetimes, it goes on. Because now he only knows one thing, I am not the body, I am soul, nothing more than that. But after thousands and thousands of lifetimes, then he becomes a yogi, where he understands, I am not the body, I am the soul, but there is somebody beyond the soul also, there is super soul or Paramatma. And then again, after many, many, many lifetimes of becoming a yogi, then he becomes a bhakta. And then such a bhakta understands Krishna is God and I am his servant. And then as a bhakta, he may be a shanta bhakta. He may be a bhakta having very little understanding about Krishna. He may be worshipping Krishna in the mood of awe and veneration. And then it may take several, several lifetimes to come to the point of getting madhurya bhakti. Conjugal love for Krishna, which is actually offered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, in the part of spiritual life, there is a long way to go. There is a very long way to go. So beginning from Karmakand, then Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and then one comes to Bhakti Yoga. So here Krishna is talking about Vedeshu, Yajneshu, Tapasu, all these things are done. Yajna, Dana, Tapasya, Pavanani, Manishinam. Pavanani means to purify. Little by little we have to become purified, to come to the path of bhakti. But if a devotee, if a living entity is somehow or other very fortunate, he comes across a devotee in his life. And then his life completely gets changed. So that is like getting in the lift, instead of climbing to the staircase. You put yourself in the lift and press the button, directly you come to the within a very short time. So either we go through the staircase of different yogic paths or we come to the bhakti yoga directly. Here, that's what Krishna is saying, atyeti tat sarvam idam viditva. He surpasses all these different types of yogic paths which are in between, which take millions of lifetimes. The devotee surpasses all this. And then he directly comes to the path of bhakti yoga, where he can perform loving devotion service unto me. That is why he said, Brahmande Brahmita Kona Bhagyavana Jeeva. Who is that Bhagyavana Jeeva, fortunate soul, who comes across a spiritual master, who is a Vaishnava devotee in his life? So as we progress in Krishna consciousness, we will begin to understand the most rarest jewel that we all have achieved in our lives. In the beginning we don't know, we may just like prasadam, or we may like kirtans, we just come. Maybe people say, I like kirtan, I like darshan, I like prasad. But as years go, you will understand how I have been saved from this vast ocean of material world and I have been made into a devotee. And I have been given a lift directly to the bhakti yoga. So, some other time we will elaborately discuss about this bhakti path. How, it's explained in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, elaborately. How a devotee directly gets connected to Krishna by coming in contact with the devotee. Instead of having to undergo all these troubles of Veda, Yajna, Tapaha and Dana. Now there are some people in the path of spiritual life who think that the path of Bhakti is meant for sentimentalists and the path of Jnana is meant for intellectual people. Recently I had gone to IIT Kharagpur. So I had given lecture. After the lecture was over, I got to meet number one man who is organizing one very famous course, Art of Living or something like that. He's organizing. He has got some 200-300 boys coming. Suppose they come, they attend the course and they go away, and then he gets a fresh lot. And then they also keep on passing out and going away. So he had invited me to his house. I had gone. So they wanted to have a friendly relation with me because we are also preaching and they are also preaching. So you are telling we teach this path for everyone. It's very good for the body. You know, we do some Sarasana Kriya, some asanas and all. It's very good for the body. So then he was telling his style of teaching. He said, for the students we give very intellectual stuff. We give such details about the body, very complicated details, because students are intellectuals. And then he said, and then those who are coming from medical field, we even give more medical details to them. And then those who are working in companies and who are professionals and other people, and we give them examples which they can relate. Similarly, boys from Agri, we give them different kind of examples. And then he said, for women, we teach them bhakti, he said. What is that bhakti? I asked him. He's a Bengali. He said, bhakti, you are telling. Bhakti. He said, in bhakti, we teach for women, you are telling. So, then I asked him, why not teach bhakti for everyone? He said, according to his understanding, women are sentimental and only they need bhakti. Women and children. So they can clap hands and do bhajan. They can, because they can't do anything more than that. This is the understanding of many people in India, you see. And this man was telling, he is the leader, number one man, he was telling, you know, by doing this, water living, I am feeling so nice. All they work very hard, and then you come back and do this and you feel very nice, relax. Again, next day you can work very hard all day. This is the goal of life, you are telling, nothing more. So, we want to see that everyone works very hard, so that India gets promoted. India advances in its technology more and more. And then again, you do this asanas and everything to relax yourself. What is the goal of your life? I asked him. Oh, goal of life is to work very hard. Nothing more. So these people imagine vimukta maninaha. The word is used in Bhagavatam. Ye anye aravindaksha vimukta maninaha. Sajyasta bhava adabhishuddha buddhaya. There is one Swami in India who said it is better to play football instead of Bhagavad Gita, instead of reading Bhagavad Gita. And very famous Swami in India. So this is the kind of brain stuff they have. We don't know whether brain is there or something else is there. Or Gopal is there. So he is saying it's better to play football instead of reading Bhagavad Gita. That is a better yoga according to him. So this is the condition of the so-called modern jnanis today. And even the jnanis of the old times, if you see, sometimes there is a notion that because of being jnanis, we are more intellectual and we can do more word jugglery and we can do tarka vitarka, and in this way we are more advanced. But one lady, he was talking about bhakti, I was telling him on pastime. There is a pastime of Mother Sachi and Nimai. Nimai, when Chaitanya was a small child, that Nimai. One day Nimai was given some sweetmeats by the mother. She told him, please eat this, like peda. She gave something to eat. He was going and eating mud. Mother was asking, why are you eating mud? Why don't you eat this sweetmeats? And he started talking philosophy to mother. He said, my dear mother, what is the difference between sweet peda and mitti? Both are same. Because both are coming from earth element only. What is the difference between the two? Ultimately everything is earth. So whether I eat mud or I eat this sweet, it's all the same. Mother, she was not an ordinary mother. She was very intelligent. She was not the kind of sentimentalist that this gentleman was talking about. She was very intelligent. She told the child, my dear child, although both of them are coming from earth element, both are not same. She gave example, there is a brick. The brick is used for constructing a bungalow. And there is a gada, you call it gada, water. And the pot is used for, gada is used for getting water. But can you get water in a brick? Or can you construct a building with such pots? Is it possible? Everything has its purpose. If everything is one, everything is same, then you have to carry water in the brick. So when things transform, everything is not same. If you say everything is one, everything is same, then it is Mayavad. This is impersonalism. This is the jnanis, so-called jnanis follow. So she condemned her, and immediately Nimai understood it. So there the example is given to show, if even a woman becomes a devotee, although she may be thought of to be sentimental by the common folk, If she becomes a devotee, she is given intelligence by Krishna from within. But she can even defeat a great jnani. Jnani's argument can be defeated even by a woman in the path of devotional service. And these jnanis, they think they have achieved something very high. Ye anye aravindaksha vimukta manina. Aravindaksha means one who is lotus-eyed Krishna. They have rejected the lotus-eyed Krishna and they are thinking vimukta manina. Manina means manna, thinking that I am liberated. Tayasta bhava abhishuddha buddhaya. Their intelligence is impure. Like this gentleman whom I was talking about. His intelligence is impure, Krishna is saying. Shastras are saying. Why? Because they consider bhakti to be inferior and jnana to be superior. Tayasta bhava abhishuddha buddhaya. Abhishuddha buddhi. Arukhya krichrena param padantateva patanti ado anadata ishmadangraya. Although after great austerities and penances they achieve great heights, up to the level of even Brahma Jyoti or Brahman. Again, patanti adaha, anadata ishmadangraya. Not having taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, they fall down back into the material world. Just like a skylab. It goes up, there is no planet to land, skylab falls back. I don't know how many of you know about skylab. When I was a small boy, skylab fell. 77? Okay, 77 skylab fell. So that is one example of how a jnani falls down. Because skylab had no place to rest. It fell back. Similarly, they go to great height because of not taking shelter of Krishna. It falls back to the material world. So, it is only a figment of imagination that many Indians have that jnanis are more advanced. Like one boy came to temple. So I told him, did you take darshan? I asked him. No, I have crossed the stage of Murti Puja. He said. And then I asked him, do you chant Hare Krishna and all? Oh, that mantra Pradesh and all I took long ago, now I have gone beyond that stage. Now I do meditation directly. So I asked him, what do you do in the morning? Oh, morning you go for jogging. Because I have to have a healthy body. What about evening? No, sir, only on Sunday I can come. Why? Evening I go to gym. So he is so body conscious, going to gym and jogging, and this fellow has crossed the stage of doing mantra japa. See, until I came to ISKCON, I never knew how much fallen am I in my life. I was also a very proud man at one time, before coming to ISKCON. I used to always think, now I know the Vedic chanting, I have read the shastras of the scriptures written by, the books written by jnanis, and I was thinking, jnani is a very great person. You have to walk with a raised nose because you become liberated. And then bhaktas are sentimentalist. I used to even tease my mother clapping hands for kirtan. So, I used to think like that jnanis are very advanced. Then I understood how fallen they are. Because they are simply imagining they are very advanced. They have no substance at all. If you have read books written by so-called big philosophers in India, so many organizations, they write so many books, so abstract that it doesn't make any sense. There are, like one, when I had gone to IIT also, another boy had come about J. Krishnamurti. Sir, the book is so difficult, you can't understand anything. He is so great. That is our greatness. You present a doctorate thesis that no one can understand, then you will be considered a big man. Like that. So, who can be considered a big man? If you can present complicated things in a very simple fashion, then you are really a great man. In such a simple fashion that even a small child can understand and follow. Then you are a great man. This is the meaning of eloquence. Eloquence means truth spoken concisely. That is eloquence. How to learn to speak the truth in such a way that anybody can follow. We see the line of Brahma Madhava Gaudi Sampradaya right from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't tell his followers that you preach this in an intellectual fashion, that all the jnanis carried on to forest and you all go to Himalayas. He didn't say that. He called Nityananda and Haridas. Shuno shuno Nityananda, shuno Haridas, amara ajna karaha prakasham. Amara, sarvatra amara ajna karaha prakasham. Sarvatra means everywhere. Take my ajna, everywhere, every nook and corner. Prati gare giya. Karo yehi diksha, go from door to door, he said. Prati ghare ghare diya, karo yehi diksha. Go to every door, batter the door and ask them for diksha. What diksha you should ask? Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Karo Krishna Shiksha. He said, Bolo, chant Krishna's names. That is the yajna for this age. Bajo Krishna, worship Krishna. That is actually the tapas for this age. What is tapas for this age? Doing vigraha aradhana of Krishna, aradhana Krishna, worshipping them, bathing them, blessing them, offering bhoga for them. That is the tapasya. And what is dan, charity? And charity is Krishna Shiksha. You learn it and you give it to others. That is the real dan. So what is yajna dan tapa for this age? Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Karo Krishna Shiksha. For everyone, he said. And there is another verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this, even small children, women, old men, young boys, educated, uneducated, sannyasis, grihasthas, everyone was chanting Hare Krishna without any discrimination. The whole population was chanting Hare Krishna in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. It's not that the Shastras are meant only for an elite few who are very intelligent and very advanced and no one can understand. This is the way the other big so-called jnanis are presenting religion to the common masses. What they say, you all cannot understand scriptures and all. They keep a big beard and they say, no, we will give you ashirvad. You just come, take ashirvad and you go away. That's all. And what is the, if any grihastha goes to such sadhus and asks them, what is my dharma? No, you just worship your mother and father and do some little puja at home and you'll be peaceful. You just come and meet me occasionally. That shastras are meant only for us. This is the understanding many people have. But Bhagavad Gita is meant for one and all. It's for everyone. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed to the world how the path of bhakti is not only simple, it takes one to the highest level of achievement. Because what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying is not his own version. In the scriptures it is said, all of you repeat after me.
Mukta naam api siddhanam
Narayana
parayanaha
Durlabha prasantatma
Kotishvapi
mahamune.
It is said amongst crores of liberated souls and perfected beings, Narayana parayanaha, the devotee of Narayana or Krishna is one. Muktana, Abhisiddhana, Narayana Parayana, Koti Shapi Mahamune. One out of crores. See, it is not saying one out of crores of people. It doesn't say that. Not ordinary people. Ordinary people are not taken into account. It says one out of crores of Muktana, Abhisiddhana. Liberated and perfect. So liberated people are the jnanis and siddhanam are the yogis. That means one out of crores of jnanis and yogis, Krishna Bhakta is one. This is the rarity of a Krishna Bhakta. And such a Krishna Bhakti is achieved simply by connecting oneself to a spiritual master. So we can see how wonderful this path of bhakti is, that it takes one to the highest platform by following a simplest method. That is why there is a saying, the greatest truths are always
simple,
not complex. The greatest truths are always simple. Said the jnanis have a habit of twisting and turning everything and use word jugglery and put you in further illusion than what you are now. So the more you can play with word jugglery, the more you are considered advanced in the circle of jnanis. That is why it is said, no two jnanis can live together. See, how many of them are in the room today? Particularly some 70, 80. Jnanis cannot sit like this. If two of them come, there will be a big fight. Because every jnani holds his own opinion about the truth. His own understanding of absolute truth. So here, Krishna is talking about yajna dana tapan. Let us see some examples to understand it better. Like Vedic knowledge certainly is considered important so that one can achieve wisdom to go closer to God. But the same Vedic knowledge can become a great impediment if one becomes proud of achieving that knowledge. So can somebody think of an example? Who became very proud of scholarship? Kesha Kashmiri, exactly. And opposite example, one who didn't have Vedic knowledge but one who achieved the mastery of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tathanya Brahmanya. Similarly, yajna. Yajna, performance of yajna is done so that Lord Vishnu will be glorified. But one person, he was performing yajna but was very proud. Daksha Prajapati. With his raised chest he came, he thought the whole universe is coming to see the Yajna. So many great personalities and demigods have come. When Shiva and Brahma didn't stand up, Daksha became angry and he offended Lord Shiva, to which he got a goat's head later. So although he performed Yajna, instead of Yajna bearing fruit, good fruit, he got the head of a goat by offending Shiva. Similarly, tapa. Yes. I have written Vishwamitra, correct. I have written. He performed severe penance. But then he used the power of that penance for giving Krishanku swarga. It's like, you know, somebody is doing fraud and you try to save him. It's exactly like that. Krishanku did not deserve to go to heaven. But Vishwamitra, due to his ego, he told him, I will create a heaven for you in between. So he lost all the power of his tapas by that. So somebody may amass a lot of power and control of mind and senses and manipulating others, so much power one may get. But then all this power will be gone by misuse of it. But can you think of somebody who did not do any tapasya but was a very great devotee? It is difficult to guess. He didn't, nobody will call him a tapasvi. He was so opulent. Pundarika Janadi, yeah. Pundarika Janadi was a very rich man. He had a palatial bungalow, soft cushion bed. He had so many servants serving him. So when Gadadhar, Pandit had gone first to see him, when he was taken there, he saw, what kind of devotee is this? He saw Gadadhar, he is so affluent, and I was told that he is a great devotee. And then, who was the other one who went to Mukunda? Then Mukunda sang this wonderful song from Bhagavatam. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam sayapaya yadatiya saddi ebhe gatim dhatri muchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. This is Uddhava's prayer, I think. Very wonderful prayer. He's saying, who is there in this world who is more merciful than Lord Sri Krishna? Who, out of his great kindness, gave the position of a dhatri, a nurse, to whom? To Putana Rakshasi, who came to breastfeed him, smearing her breast with poison. Even to her, he gave the position of a nurse in the spiritual world, assistant to Yashoda Mai. Who can be more merciful than Lord Krishna? When Pundarika Vidyanidhi heard this verse, he at once went mad with ecstasy. He started rolling on the ground, tearing his shirt. His eyes were filled with tears. Tears were springing out from his ears. And his hair was standing on end, feeling so much ecstasy. He forgot his position completely. Then Gadadhar understood his position. So in this way, a devotee may appear that he is not doing any tapasya, but a devotee's devotion is there in the heart. He has a great devotion. So this is austerity. And dan, charity, you can think of. Somebody was very proud of giving charity. Karna had written, of course, Karna had written. But I had written Bali's example also, because Bali was very proud when he was giving dan to Vaman Dev. He said, what is this? You are asking for 3 steps of land. I would have given you 3 islands. Why are you asking for just 3 steps of land? He was very proud of his proprietorship over the 3 worlds. So, Bali. On the other hand, there was one devotee who gave a very small charity. Actually, he didn't even give. Sudama. Give me the clue. Krishna snatched it from him, from Sudama. And Krishna was very pleased with that charity. So, now we saw two examples, isn't it? In one example, actually one more, Yajna, there is another very striking example in Bhagavatam. Anybody can say? Yajnik Brahmanas, exactly. Yajnik Brahmanas are doing Yajna, they were very proud of their Vedic learning. And performance of Yajna. But then their wives are great devotees of Krishna. And they achieved the shelter of Krishna and mercy of Krishna very easily. Then when they returned back, then the Yajnik Brahmanas were cursing themselves. Dig Janmana Palamidam. They were saying dig dig, that verse full of dig only is there in this whole verse. Dig Kriya Daksham. They are saying, they are very expert in reciting the Vedic mantras, but we are so foolish that we are doing yajna, but we didn't know the yajna purush, Krishna. There are Shvetas in themselves later. So in this way, Yajna, Dana, Tapa and learning of the Vedas and all these things can prove even fatal to one's advancement in spiritual life. So one becomes proud. But on the other hand, a devotee, even without all these things, simply by entering devotional service, a devotee can achieve all perfection. Now, Krishna is saying, Atyeti Tatsarvam Idam Viditva. Tatsarvam Idam means they achieve all these benefits and even more, he is saying. Like the Yagi Brahman's wives, they didn't know the Vedic chanting, but they achieved great devotion to Krishna. So, how is devotion considered to be far superior to all these things? Because one who recites the Vedas or performs yajna, what do they achieve? They can either become Indra in heaven or they can become up to Brahma. It is said for becoming Indra one has to perform 100 sacrifices perfectly. Then one can become Indra. And to become Brahma one has to live Varnashrama Dharma life perfectly for 100 lifetimes. Perfectly. Without committing any fault. Then one becomes Brahma. Or if one is doing something in between, then one may become a Gandharva or a Siddha or a Charana, Vidyadhara, one may achieve such positions in the higher planets. Which is not the goal for a devotee. Because that is also within the material world only. It's like going up to heaven, again coming back to Matsyaloka. Again do some more Yajna Dana Tapa, again go to heaven and again you come back. What is the use? As you read some verses before, Ab Brahma Bhuna Loka, again one comes back to Matsyaloka when Punya is over. So this is not a very great achievement. And what does a jnani achieve by austerities? He achieves Brahma Jyoti, Brahman. But a devotee is not attracted even by Brahman because there is no loving reciprocation with Brahman. Like when I was in IIT Kharagpur, one boy was telling that I got realization that the absolute is impersonal. Now, when I was, if you're feeling a great love for that Brahman, I said, what kind of love you can have for impersonal light? Can I have any love? Can anybody imagine other your friend coming in the form of impersonal light? What kind of love can you have towards impersonal light? There is no love, but there is peace. Impersonal Brahman is a place where one can achieve peace. One goes there and shanti, 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 nothing more than peace. So he was still arguing. Then I asked him, if husband and wife, sometimes they have a terrible fight at home. Sometimes there are ego clashes. Because both of them want to prove their point. I am only right. I am only right. And then any one of them have to give up. If one of them don't give up, what happens? Things get heated up. It's like steam. It's heated up more and more. At one point of time, it becomes so morose. Her husband comes back from the office, he doesn't talk to her. Wife also comes back, she just cooks and kisses, you only serve yourself. Like that. So sometimes 2 days, they don't speak to one another. Isn't it? You have seen that sometimes?
Always.
Isn't it? So sometimes in such a situation, a husband or wife may say, I just don't want to look at that person. I just want to be away. Let me go to my room, bolt the door, and just lie in my bed. I don't even want to look at the other person. I want to be to myself, shanti, shanti, shanti. Let me achieve peace. So I told the example to that boy. So I told him, what is the perfection that these two people can achieve, husband and wife? Is it peace by being in their own rooms, alone, and achieving shanti? Perfection is, again after some time, they have to give up. Again come back and seek forgiveness, offer obeisances, again start loving one another, isn't it? Again, otherwise how can they live together? So shanti is not the ultimate platform. Love is the ultimate platform. So love is beyond peace, and peace is a subset of love. This is understood. Many agreed after that. And such a love can be reciprocated only with a person, not with some impersonal light. Impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Many people, many organizations are speaking Bhagavad Gita, they are teaching so many scriptures. Like one organization had come to our temple, young brahmacharis, like us, they had come to visit our temple. So they were coming and saying that, we are preaching, nobody is taking us seriously. We are preaching. I was telling them, nobody is going to take you seriously at any time unless you preach proper philosophy. Because if you are preaching about impersonal light, nobody wants to go there. No. Who will want to go to impersonal light? Simply to remain in peace and not do any activity. See, everyone wants to do activity. If you see, everyone wants to not only do activity, everyone wants to do perfect activity, where there will be genuine love towards one another. So, spiritual world is a place of genuine love. Not only Krishna loves everyone, but every living being loves one another, because Krishna is the center. There is a, every word is ecstasy there. Every talk is ecstasy. Every moment is ecstasy. Everything that happens in spiritual world is leading everyone to bliss. Simply by seeing the movement of another devotee, one feels bliss in the spiritual sky. So one can get ultimate happiness only in such a spiritual world. So when we talk of the path of bhakti, how is it superior to all these things? Because everyone in this world has different idea of success. But the success that a devotee achieves is very, very lofty. Because a devotee is recognized by Krishna. See, everyone in this world, we all want to be recognized by somebody, isn't it? All of you are doing some kind of work and you want to be recognized for that work by somebody. Say, if your friend recognizes you, you feel nice. But then imagine that your boss of your department, he recognizes that some special work you have done, you feel even more nice. And the owner of the company recognizes, you feel even more nice. But if the Prime Minister of India is very pleased with you and he gives you some like Padma Bhushan or some award that you have done this work, and they click photographs and all the newspapers are publishing it, and everywhere everyone is talking about you, how do you feel? You feel very great, wonderful. The Prime Minister of India, you go, you put a photograph in your house. See, the PM gave me this gift. You practically you show it to everyone. Whoever comes across, you come across in your life, isn't it? In this way, depending on how big a person recognizes you, to that degree you feel more nice. Just imagine if Krishna recognizes you. There is nobody who is greater than Krishna. So a devotee desires to be recognized only by Krishna and nobody else. Although everyone is talking about Bill Gates, Bill Gates is not at all happy. He wrote an article saying how much he is feeling lonely and how much so many people pamper him with the idea of becoming his friend, although he doesn't want them. So many people claim to be his friend, although they are not. So he has written. So now he goes and disguises out so that nobody will trouble him. But here, Krishna says in the scriptures, he said, Namo akinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya pataye namaha. He says that, Kundaman is saying that, Namo akinchana vittaya. Krishna is the only wealth of the akinchanas. Akinchana, who is akinchana?
Without letter of
the law. One who is impoverished. One who has no other wealth other than Krishna. Krishna is his real wealth. Like Kolavecha Shida. Because Kolavecha had so many portions of his dhoti torn. And he had stitched them. Knots. He would put a knot and tie them. Like that all over his body. And his dhoti had more knots than the roof. Roof of his house also had many, many holes. And when rain comes, water would come into his house. Such a simple devotee. He was not known to anybody at that time. He was a banana leaf seller. And Lord would come, Lord Nimai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to his shop and, you know, have playful pastimes with him. Making bargaining with him. And then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed the Mahaprakash Lila, he told the Vaishnavas, go and get Sridhar. At that time nobody knew who is Sridhar. And then Mahaprabhu told, Kolavecha Sridhar. Kolavecha means one who sells banana leaves. And then he told, you go in that lane and you will hear the holy name of Krishna loudly being chanted by somebody. And that person is Sridhar. Kolavecha Sridhar, go and get him. Then Vaishnavas, when they went and called him, he fell unconscious to the ground when he heard it. They lifted him and brought him. So Lord recognizes a devotee, although the world may not come to know the greatness of a devotee. Nor is the devotee very eager to show to the world how great he is. There is also a story of one very great devotee called Tirupan Alvar. This Tirupan Alvar is from south 12 Alvars, very great devotees, one of them is Tirupan. So this Tirupan, he was born in a very low class family. And he also considered himself very, very low class, very fallen. But he was a very great devotee of Lord Narayana. His heart was always swelling with joy, thinking of the names of Narayana, thinking of his pastimes. And sometimes he would be dancing to himself. Now one day, near Ranganath temple, the banks of the river, he was sitting and singing the glories of Narayana. And he used to sing a very melodious voice. And Ranganath also used to be very pleased with him, hearing his melodious kirtan, which is filled with bhakti. And the Ranganath temple pujari, his name is Loka Sangram, he came taking a pot for drawing water from the river. So those days pujaris used to be very strict. Even now, Sri Vaishnavas are very strict pujaris. So he was wearing a fresh clothes and he was coming to take some water from the river. And this Tirupan was almost half lying down and he was singing like this. So this pujari saw from a distance and he thought that this man is trying to tease me because I am going to get water for the Lord. He is lying in my way and not letting me go. So he shouted at him, "Move away from my way. I want to get some water." But then Tirupan was so absorbed in ecstasy, he didn't hear anybody speaking anything. The whole world was going on with his chorus, but Tirupan couldn't hear anything. He was such a great devotee, absorbed in the mood of Narayana, thinking of Narayana. And the pujari became angry. He took a pebble and flung at him. It hit him on the forehead and started bleeding. And immediately Tirupan came to his external consciousness. And he got up and saw the pujari and he understood that I committed a mistake. So he sought forgiveness and very sorry, I am lying on the way. You please go and take water. And then Tirupan went some distance ahead. And again he started dancing and singing Narayana's name again. Completely forgot the blood that was coming from his forehead. And again gradually he lost his external consciousness. And again fell to the ground, unconscious, thinking of Narayana. And here the pujari took water and when he was going towards the temple, he was feeling very great uneasiness in his heart. So he was also a devotee. He was thinking, probably I have committed some mistake today. Something inauspicious I have done. And then when he went to offer, to do the offering for the Lord, he was trying to open the door. The door is open, but the curtains were not opening. Curtains are more easy to open, isn't it? But the curtains were so stiff. Both sides he was trying to push, it wasn't opening. Why? Lord Ranganath was very angry with him. So Lord Ranganath told the Bhudevi and Shridevi, both of them, "You both hold the curtain on either side, don't open it." Pujari should not be able to open. And pujari is wondering, how can I offer bhoga? It's already time. Then he started weeping. Then Lord spoke to pujari. He told him, "How can I offend my devotee, Tirupan? He's such a great devotee of mine. And you hit his forehead with a stone. It's such a terrible offense. You have greatly displeased me today by this act. Go immediately to the banks of the river and take Tirupan on your shoulders. You should show your respect to him like this. And you bring him at once. I want to see him." So Lord ordered him. So immediately the pujari went running and he offered obeisances to Tirupan and said, "Oh great devotee of Narayana, I have committed a great offense to you. Please forgive me. And please come to temple. Lord wants to see you." And Tirupan said, "No, I have made up my mind that I will never put my feet in this holy land before the temple of Ranganath. I don't want to put my feet in the temple of Ranganath because I am so impure, I am very, very low born." He said, "That is why Lord has told me that I should carry you on my shoulders and bring you to climb on my shoulders." He was not ready. He said, "If you don't climb on my shoulders, then you are offending the Lord. Lord has told you, you have to." So he lifted him on his shoulders and came running towards the temple. And while going, this Tirupan was crying torrents of tears, singing about Narayana. And then when he came to the temple, the Lord was so eager to see him that when he came in the veranda of the temple, Lord came out of the altar with his full darshan at Narayana, with his Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma, with Shridevi and Bhudevi, with his Anantashesh. With all of them he gave a beautiful darshan to him. And then Tirupan saw the beautiful darshan of the Lord, singing great poetry in glorification of the Lord. His body melted off, evaporated completely. His metal body vanished from there. And at the same moment he returned back to Vaikuntha. So he is a very great devotee. Now this Tirupan was not known as a great devotee. He was not known as a great personality by even this pujari. He was thought of to be some low class person, ordinary person. But Lord recognized his greatness. So in this way, one has to be recognized by Krishna. Similarly, Narada was a small boy, isn't it? Son of a maid servant. Nobody knew who is this Narada in the previous lifetime. Of course, next life he was Narada. But in his previous life he was a Dasiputra. So he was a small boy. The great Vaishnavas would come during Chaturmas and discuss Krishna Katha. And this boy Narada would be sitting very calmly and hearing Krishna Katha. It is said he was not very much attracted to sports or any mischievous activities. He was very pure hearted and very simple. Whatever his mother said he would do, he would go and serve the Vaishnavas prasad, and after the eat prasad he would accept the remnants what they have left in the plate. And he was very simple hearted. So Lord Narayan recognized that this boy is my devotee. Later on when this boy Narada performed penance under a tree, nobody knew him. There was nobody around in that forest. It is said he went through the mountains and jungles and he crossed rivers. At one place he took a bath, he drank some water, sat under a tree alone and was meditating on Lord Narayan. And Narayan appeared in his front. So this is the beauty of devotion service, that a devotee becomes recognized by the Supreme Lord, which is the greatest achievement in devotion service. This is one. Another thing is, a devotee can become a confidential associate of the Supreme Lord. All of us in our life, we are searching for someone who loves us very much. Everyone is seeking love in this world. The reason why we dress very smartly, why we comb very nicely, why we put cosmetics, reason is very, very simple. What is the reason? To draw the attention of others, and we want to be loved by others. We want others to appreciate us and to love us. So the soul by nature is very love-seeking. Of course, I don't say it is bad. The soul by nature is love-seeking. But who can give the greatest love? Krishna can give the greatest love. So we also want somebody in the world who puts complete trust in us. Just imagine, one of your friends comes to you and tells you, in this world I don't have trust in anybody except you. You are the one whom I love the most and I trust you the most. You feel so nice. So we want to become a confidential associate of somebody. Often we are very fond of telling, he is very intimate to me, isn't it? Whether we are boys or girls, everyone wants to have some intimate friends. And again the same thing, if somebody who is much superior to you puts trust in you, again you have great appreciation for them. Just imagine if Raghunath Swami Maharaj comes and he calls you are sitting in the crowd and everyone is very busy doing some activities, and somebody comes and says, Prabhuji, Sunakshan Guru Maharaj is calling you. How do you feel? You feel immediately very nice. And everyone is thinking, hey, Maharaj is calling you, something very special. So actually the degree of confidence also increases depending on how big person you are in touch with. Recently I was in Bombay, Shaman was telling this meaning of secrecy. He was telling, for example, if say Radheshyam Das is going to go to one particular program, so I generally don't go to the program, say I am going only once in a year, then there will be a big talk going on in the program. Today Radheshyam is going to come, only once in a year we have this big festival, he is going to come, president is coming, and so much talk will go on. And for those younger devotees, this will be a big secret for them, isn't it? Amongst them, do you know, I have one special thing I am going to tell you. You know who is coming today? Radheshyam Das. Now if Shyamanpur is coming from Bombay, that will be even a bigger secret, isn't it? Devamrutpur is coming. And then if Radhanath Swami is coming, that will be the talk of the day, isn't it? Everyone will be talking, Maharaj is coming, when is he coming, what time is coming, where to go, and receive and everything. So you are telling the degree of secrecy increases for younger and younger people more and more as the person's seniority and greatness increases like that. Similarly, if one can become a confidential friend of Krishna, there is nothing like it. It's very difficult to become his confidential friend, because it is said in Bhagavatam, Muktim Dadati, it is said. Lord even gives mukti to anybody, even to demons he is giving mukti. He is killing demons like Shishupal and giving mukti to them. But it is said, Muktim Dadati Karichitma Nabhakti Yoga. He doesn't give bhakti so easily. It's very difficult to become a Lord's pure devotee. And Arjuna was a great devotee in whom Lord had complete confidence. He says, he called Arjuna and told him, Idam tute guhyatama pravakshyami. My dear Arjuna, come here, I'll tell you a great secret now. Anasuyave, because you are non-envious of me. So I'll tell you this. Topmost secret to you. Bhakto asine sakhacheti. Rahasyam. Again he's saying rahasyam. I'm telling you this most confidential knowledge to you, Arjuna. Why? Because you are my devotee. Bhakto asine sakhacheti. See, Krishna was such a close friend of Arjuna. Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter, that, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, Hey Sakheti. Krishna, I have called you so many times as Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, Hey Sakha. I called you like that. We have lied in the same bed. We have dined together on the same table. I don't know whether it is in the table or on the ground. We have dined together. We have played together in the banks of the rivers. I said, Arjuna and Krishna once in the Kanda of Prastha pastime, Krishna and Arjuna, they just went to a very, very beautiful scenic place which was having beautiful trees and plants filled with flowers. So they were sitting on ivory bench in the edge of a river bank, just talking very casually. Arjuna was such a friend, very, very close friend. Similarly, Narada also tells Yudhishthir, so Narada was talking about Prahlad Maharaj's glories. He is talking about ideal household life and everything in the 7th canto. Towards the end he is telling Yudhishthir, although you are asking me all these questions about how to become an ideal householder and everything, I can tell you one thing. You are already a blessed devotee of Krishna. You don't need to do anything. You are already a great devotee. You are such a great devotee that Lord Krishna comes and resides in your own house, and all the sages and saints worldwide, they have to come to your house to take darshan of Krishna. That is your greatness. Not only he is residing in your house, he renders service. I see him offering obeisances to you every time. And he is befriending Arjuna and he is embracing Nakula Sahadev. And he is moving about in your house just like ordinary human being. And he is protecting all of you. Every time when there is a war, he has given all of you protection. He has given you guidance as a guide. He has counseled you. He has acted in the level of a father for all of you. So he is acting in all respects as a spiritual master to everyone. So they say, Yudhishthira, there is no one in this world who is more fortunate than you. Narada told him. And they say, a devotee becomes very confidential to Krishna. So when a devotee becomes confidential to Krishna, then he is always thinking of Krishna. Like once somebody asked Prabhupada, one day said to ask Prabhupada, Prabhupada, are there any mosquitoes in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada very quickly responded back, if there are, they all are chanting Hare Krishna. So this is the devotee. He has answer for everything. And every answer is connected to Krishna also. And once Prabhupada was sitting like this with closed eyes. And after some time he opened his eyes and somebody asked Prabhupada, what did you see in your meditation? So in those days the disciples were so intimate and they didn't know how great is Prabhupada. So they would ask any question, just like a small child asked the mother or father, you know. So they would ask him very freely. So Prabhupada says, I was meditating on Krishna's lunchbox. What is there in Krishna's lunchbox? I was meditating on that. So a person like Prabhupada can say that. Because such devotees become very confidential to Krishna. And Krishna will reveal such things to those devotees who are very confidential towards him. There are two more points I think I will not speak today. It will get late. We can speak next week. Continue it. Any question? One question?
Yes, I did not get the point of what Lord Krishna was telling to Arjuna, that I will tell you some real secret. So what was the secret?
That secret is the Bhakti Yoga in the 9th chapter. That's coming in the next chapter. Yes. He is saying there is Jnana Yoga, there is Ashtanga Yoga, but Bhakti Yoga is the topmost. And he is explaining how the Lord and his doctor, how they have relationship. All that is explained.
Yajna,
बोलो कृष्ण भजो कृष्ण कहो कृष्ण करो कृष्ण शिक्षा इट इज फॉर कलयुग बट इट फॉर ऑल यू
actually the path of bhakti is there in all the ages even the chanting of the holy name like the yoga was given om namo bhagavate vasudevaya right so he did bhakti along with that he added ashtanga yoga as additional austerity because in those days they had so much stamina and strength so according to the strength they wanted to offer to krishna but basically he did bhakti in every age you can say that in satya yoga dhruva maharaj in treta yoga treta yoga what was that there is a treta yoga is again sacrifice but I have given I think they did Rishabhadev yagna there they are talking about the holy name the brahmanas are saying my dear lord although we are doing yagna dana tapa and all these things there is a very long part to that atakadan chit kalana chit padana jirumana dharavastana adish yavashana nasmaranaya jvara marana dashaya సకల కష్మల నిరసనాన్ని తపమన ఘృత నామ ధ్యేయాన్ని వచన గోచరాన్ని భవంతు యాక్చువల్ ఇట్ లుక్స్ వెరీ లాంగ్ బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ నో ద మీనింగ్ ఇట్స్ వెరీ ఈజీ టు మెమరైజ్ వెరీ నైస్ హీ సేయింగ్ దట్ మై డియర్ లార్డ్ నౌ వి డిడ్ యజ్ఞ సక్సెస్ ఫర్ యూ బట్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు అపియర్ టు దెమ్ దెన్ దే సెడ్ దట్ వెన్ వి స్లిప్ అండ్ ఫాల్ ఆన్ ద రోడ్ ఆర్ వెన్ వి యాన్ ఆర్ వెన్ వి ఆర్ ఇన్ స్లీపీ స్టేట్ and then we have high fever in the body and we are sick and in all these times we may probably forget you so tava guna krita nama dheyani nama means holy name so in all those circumstances please bless us that we will be able to remember your holy names and your pastimes either they are praying so this is not in Kali Yuga so in every yuga the ultimate goal is ante narayana smriti see etavan sankhya yoga abhyam sankhya means analytical understanding the jnana is due and yoga abhyam means ashtanga yoga swadharma parinishthaya means those who are brahmanas and kshatriyas doing their regular duties swadharma parinishthaya janma labha parah punsam ante narayana smriti at the end of the life they have to think of narayan otherwise they haven't achieved perfection ultimate janma labha is to remember narayana as their mantra otherwise even jnani yogi they cannot achieve any perfection srimad bhagavad gita ki